Greetings, everybody. Good to see you. Hallelujah. I'm going to equip today. Today is an equipping day, according to Ephesians 4. We're going to equip, mend, tend, heal, restore, empower, deliver you so that you can be better able to minister in your giftings to one another. Okay. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You're so loving to us. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read a couple of verses here. This is where Jesus is ministering. Matthew 8, verses 16 and following. When evening had come, they brought to him, that's Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. There's another chapter in case you want to look at it. Chapter 4. You can read from verse 23 to 25 that Jesus healed all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. All kinds. Now, normally speaking, when we think of healing, we think of physical healing, do we not? Our bodies have been challenged in many ways, and we bear in our lives the results of heredity that things have been passed down to us where there are certain propensities to sicknesses and diseases. And I'm not saying that Jesus can't heal any of those things, but those are the things that need to be addressed. So I want to talk to you today about a different kind of healing. I want to give you some instruction about how thorough Jesus was in healing. We'll look at the word infirmity. And in the Greek, that word is asthenia, and it means to lack strength, to be weak, to have weaknesses. Such weaknesses open the door to sicknesses. So the infirmity and the weakness that produced it are kind of like tied together. And Jesus addressed that. Now, according to the Greek dictionaries and lexicons, Strong's and Thayer's, there are four types of weaknesses. Infirmity is a weakness and a lack of strength, which allows for disease to take place. You have a tendency for those things to take place. It's like a spiritual immune system that has been weakened and compromised. It can happen in the physical. According to Strong's and Thayer's Greek lexicon of the New Testament, lexicon is a dictionary, these weaknesses, these infirmities are not just physical, but they have to do with weaknesses that are moral and mental. Mental weaknesses, deficiencies, areas where we do not have strength of mind. As I go along here, this is going to register. This all came about because I was seeking God for deeper truths about healing, and he opened this up to me. Now, the word for healing here, it says he healed all that were sick and infirm. That word is the word therapuo, from which we get our English therapy. What is therapy? How does therapy heal? Therapy is attentive, ongoing attention to record, to restore, to recover, and to make somebody whole. Therapy is never, bam, you're healed. There are other words for healing. Another word for healing is yame. We're not going to deal with that. We're going to deal with therapy healing. So let's take a look at what Jesus did. He's therapooing these people. Multitudes came around him. And in our imaginations, we might see him doing something like we've seen evangelists do when they come through, or the saints of the early healing movements who just put their hands on people as they pass by. And we tend to mimic that when we are praying with each other for healing. Like, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the word of God. Thou be healed. You know, we just do it like matter-of-factly, absolutely, and it's done. But the word for therapy also means serve in a menial way. To serve one, to be attentive to one's needs. So now the picture of Jesus changes a little bit when he's ministering healing. I want you to try to imagine this, that through his tender eyes, that when the sick came to him, they didn't come just with grievous torments and physical ailments. They came with issues that were facing them mentally, that they had difficulty with. Now, pretty soon I'm going to explain that to you. But he took time to address their physical and mental and emotional healing by looking into their eyes, hearing the word of the Heavenly Father, ministering his love. He didn't just go up to and say, be healed, and they all fall down. But he poured out of his life a compassionate attention to the real pain and agony that people were having. Okay? We want a quick hit. Forgive me, but culture has affected the church more than the church affected the culture in some of these things. We are in such a hurry today that we don't take the time that we need with one another. And we don't even take the time to let God heal us sometimes. We get so impatient with him. We want him to do it everything fast now. And if we don't get it, we wonder, what the heck is wrong? But there's a therapy that God wants to apply. Now, according to the Greek dictionaries, there are four categories where there's a weakness of the mind that needs to be addressed. And I'm going to mention them to you. Number one, there is a weakness to understand things. Comprehend. I think you guys can relate. You can understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it affects us when we are being taught things of the spiritual realm that we cannot connect to them. We're going to deal with that one today. Second, there's a weakness to do great things. Our minds do not permit us to conceive of ourselves of doing anything great for God and for the body. It's a limitation. Third, there's a weakness to restrain corrupt desires, which all come from within us. It's where we conceive sin, where we allow it to take hold, and our minds are not resolved to say no and mean it. And so we allow this thing to take over when we don't have the resolve. And the fourth is a weakness to bear trials and troubles, which produce stress. Stress is mental. Oh, I'm so stressed out. It's mental. If our minds have become strong in the Lord, stressful situations do not overwhelm us. Trials do not defeat us. We don't just confess, well, you know, every trial is there to help. No, we know that it's not going to defeat us. It's there for a greater purpose. And our minds are capable of grasping that and pursuing it and having victory. Or we let stress defeat us. So those are the four areas. So let's go back to the weakness in the area of mental comprehension. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. One is Romans 6, where the use of this word appears, or the concept of this word appears. This is what I'm after. In verse 19, it says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness, infirmity of your flesh. Paul is saying, for just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He said, you have had a weakness here. It's in your nature, and it needs to be healed. So it's like this man comes up to Jesus, and he says, I keep doing the same thing over and over, and it keeps hurting me. I haven't got the strength of mind. Are you following this? To stop it. Jesus says, I can heal you. I can touch that. Here's the reasons that you're like that. I'm going to set you free right now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, I think it is. Verse 17 begins with, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. All right. When we get born again, our spirits become alive to God. But the process of becoming a brand new creation takes time. We are already born again. We are already sons of God, but it takes the power of God to make us the sons of God. It takes an ongoing process of life experiences to be changed, to be delivered, and to be healed. So when we are born again, we are not completely free of all the darkness that used to be in us. That darkness still resides. It's in our minds. It's in our imaginations. We remember how things were. Those things grab us. They pull us back. And they keep us from walking in the true light that we should be walking in all the time. That's an area of healing, too, that God wants to get to today. So, I'm going to kind of summarize it for you. This word darkness also means to be obscure. It's like a veil that comes across a mind. Or I can't totally see this thing. That veil needs to be torn away. All right, we're going to break this down into two categories today. And we can then take time to pray with each other. First category. All right, before I go to that, let me just say this to you. Our minds direct the course of our lives. If these are not sound, regardless of what we're learning, if we have not repented, refuted, been delivered of, and being healed of thought life that interferes with God life, we're going to struggle. There's enough struggle as it is. So we need our minds as strong as possible. We need Jesus to therapeuo them, to heal us with tender love, beginning today. Okay, I'm going to make a confession. I have gone to God over things in my life where I said, God, why is my thinking challenged in this particular area? I'm not going to tell you what area it is. But I have an area where I go to God and say, I don't seem to be able to move from that thing. Why? And that's how this teaching came about. He directed me here to this. He said, it's because there's a weakness there in your mental capabilities, your capacity to deal with this strongly, that I want to heal so you can get free. And you all have some. You all have some. I know you do. Or Jesus wouldn't be having me teach this to you. If it was just for me, I wouldn't bring it up. So I know it's true, and he is setting me free. So let's go back. There's two categories. One, I cannot understand the significance or the nature or the meaning or the scope of certain biblical truths, where you struggle with the whole concept of something. You can't get out of a kind of an elementary place where you are into thinking the grander spiritual truths that become revealed to you as you're growing in the Lord. And they kind of escape you. What could it be? It could be over the fact that we are one body in Christ. Okay? It could be over the fact that God dwells in us. This is a very difficult thing. I was teaching to another church one time not long ago, and I revealed to them that in John 14, Jesus said he's going to come into us, and the Father's going to come into us, and he's going to make our abode. He's going to make his abode in us. And I said, do you know what the word abode means? Oh, yeah, dwelling. I said, well, it really means mansion. He's going to make his mansion in us because in his household, house, okadoimos, that whole household, there are many dwelling places, abodes, or mansions. And this woman just went like this. It was just terrifying and troubling. And she, because the whole thought of God living in us, making his home here, we becoming his temple, the body in which he dwells, just almost overwhelmed, just can't handle it. I'm not saying that's true with all of you. It's possible it could be true with some. And God wants you free and whole, because you know what? The more you know that God dwells in you, Christ is living in you, the more you're going to walk like Christ wants you to walk. Because it's no longer your power, your energy, and your effort, but the very person of Christ dwelling in you by his Spirit that enables you to walk in righteousness. Not yours, but his. All right, that's one category. Second category is people who cannot break free from old mindsets. Often these are cultural, and sometimes they're religious. Sometimes the religious mindsets come from things we've been taught long ago that hold us, and we can become, let's say, legal because of it. And we're stuck in a legal concept, mindset, that can't break free to receive the grace of God and walk in that. It could be family, cultural things that cause us to want to hold on to something. Traditions, exactly. When you and I got born again, transferred into the kingdom of God, we came into a brand new culture called the culture of Christ, whereby we learned to take on a brand new style of living. I don't know that I can articulate all the different reasons that people get trapped. That's up to individuals to reveal that, where you are stuck in an old way of thinking and don't seem to be able to get out of that and to move on, and everything kind of gravitates back to that. But this, but this, but this, but this. And it holds you. It's a weakness, and God is going to set you free there. So we're going to minister this morning to each other, if you'll be honest with each other. James 5 talks about us confessing our faults to one another. Faults there are really sins. These are not necessarily sins. These are just simply weaknesses. But by confessing these things outwardly to God and to each other and invoking his name and presence into your place, you can ask for prayer to be set free. I'm going to pray a general prayer. But those of you who have already heard God speaking to you through what I've been sharing, know that you need help in a particular area. I admit to you, I needed help in this particular area, in my life, one area. And God is slowly, completely delivering me so that I can embrace an area of thinking I have not been able to before. It's personal. It's about my life. But it's very important to God. And it's very important, whatever it is you're going through right now, he knows that. And it's very important to him that you get delivered and set free. So I'm going to pray a general prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come down and open up into our hearts and minds right now areas where we have been troubled, where God just revealed something this morning to us that we can say, oh, I need that. You may not get it all today. It might come to you in the succeeding days. You might be an instrument of prayer for somebody else this morning. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to be the healer in the name of Jesus Christ this morning to brothers and sisters who have been troubled in their mind, find a weakness, have difficulty in a comprehension, seem stuck in a thought pattern, whatever it happens to be. We know, God, that you want to renew their minds. We know that the Word of God, the Scriptures themselves, will help that take place. But we need also prayers and help from each other today. We thank you for the love that you have towards us, that the love of God right now moves in us and through us to one another. And we can be open and trusting. There is no embarrassment among a community of people who love each other. There's only honesty. Transparency destroys the enemy. It keeps him at bay from keeping us locked up and afraid. We dispel him from our presence today. We trust in you, Holy Spirit, to work in us. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who will pray for us. And we give you all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus Christ, for this truth to take place in us today and on an ongoing basis. Amen. There you are. Get together with each other. Husbands and wives, it could be. It could be friends. Could be strangers. Take a little time. Ask who needs to connect with who. You know how we do that. And if you don't have an issue right now, then make yourself available to somebody. In time, God may show you some areas. Fine. If not, there's no pressure. Okay? All right. Yeah? Sure.
All right. This is incredible what God is doing. Just incredible. I'm going to start back at Wednesday morning, I had a washer and dryer delivered to my house, okay? And trying to figure out how to use it was devastating for me because of the thought that said, you're so stupid, you can't understand anything. I was watching myself as I was looking at the instructions, and none of this was becoming verbal at all. But I was looking at the instructions, and I'm like, I can't get this. I don't understand this. I don't know what to do with this. So in my mind was condemning me and just taking me all the way back. You're so stupid. And I kept saying that, you're so stupid. You can't understand anything. You know, when are you going to, whatever. And I tried to explain to Renee a little bit of what, he says, just, you know, do this and whatever. And I can't do that. I was saying this to myself, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I'm watching myself as all this process is going on in my head. It was like I was standing back and watching this other person and in my head just doing all these things that Pastor was talking about in our minds, just saying all these things. And before I knew it, I could feel it. I felt it in my neck. I felt it in my back, in my body. I was aching and hurting because everything was coming in. I was allowing all that to come in. So I just put the stuff down and I didn't do anything else. All day I sat with that. And again, it attacks everything that you're not. It just attacks everything. And I know everybody goes through that. It's just not me. But when you're ashamed of those things, you don't bring them out. You can't bring them out because you think you're the only one that feels that way. So anyway, the whole day was ruined. I couldn't do anything. I was just paralyzed, and the thing just kept going through in my head. Well, Wednesday night we came to church, and this is why I can't stress either the importance of being here on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's amazing. But I came to church and certainly didn't want to be here because of I'm so stupid. I'm not going to understand anything anyway, you know? So we were talking and whatever, and we came around to the song of, how does it go, Bobby? God has turned my morning into dancing for me, and somebody brought it up, and we started singing it. And I just sang it, not because there was any thought. I just started to sing it. So I'm singing it, and I can feel myself being delivered. I'm being delivered. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you know that? You know? But I knew it because I'm yawning. And so I recognized. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there, okay, and this is going on, and I'm just kind of watching this stuff, and just watching it, and just like, you know, I just don't get this, you know? And the next day, which was such a miracle, I know that God does so much more than what we're aware of. He really does so much more because he cares so much. But the next day, I couldn't believe it. I went to my washer, put some things in, and I hit buttons, and it started. And I'm like, I'm standing there thinking, how did you do that? And it's like, how did you do that? I'm like, what happened? All of a sudden, there was nothing there anymore. There was nothing there. And I'm still trying to figure, you know, you try to figure it out because as a human, that's what you do. But I just was watching this. I walked away and I'm like, I can hear God say, do you realize what you just did? And I'm like, I don't know, how did that happen? And I did it again later on. But the whole thing is that it wasn't, in this case, it was the washer and the dryer, whatever. But I just love the fact of how good God is, how much he cares for our minds and our heart. I mean, this is torture for years. And when Pastor mentioned about our minds, about how we can't understand things, I've been saying for years, God, I can't get this. I can't get this. I don't know how to do this. And my mind is just like, change my mind. I said, I don't know how to do this. I can't understand. And it doesn't stay with me. I said, how do I am supposed to function? But somehow, all through life, he has done what he has done. And things come out, and you start opening up, and you start moving and stuff, and you don't even know how you're doing it, except that you do know. You know that it's just God's goodness that he's bringing you out, and he's healing you because he wants that. Mm-hmm. But the mind doesn't stop there because we're human. And so there's just so much more in here. It also, when these things happen to you, it gives you a compassion and a feel for people and a love for them, because especially the ones that say to the, you know, I don't know what my mind is, or I don't know whatever, because you feel that you were there. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm complete, but I'm certainly not where I was, and God isn't finished with me. That's the whole thing. And there are horrible things that come up, and the worst thing is just to keep quiet. I didn't want anybody to know because I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. That's the number one big one. And the other thing is, again, you're so stupid, you don't understand. You'll never get this. And how are you supposed to talk to someone else when you don't even know how to do this? And that word just kept pounding on me, and it's crippling. It is so crippling, because I felt it crippling. But God, he saw that whole thing. Saw that whole thing. And even me, almost standing back and watching all of this. I'm watching this. And he knew what I was feeling. He knew what I was feeling. And he was doing something in that moment. I mean, I'm just giving you parts of it. But I know there's so much more that he did in that I don't even see yet. And that'll come out in however it comes out. But I think the thing that I just want to bring across to that people will not be ashamed and afraid to be honest with one another, because you know what? We all have stuff in us. We all have things that we're short in, and how we feel about ourselves, where God wants to build our character up. He wants to build us up. And we're still in that place where our thoughts and our mind pull us back down. And it's no, he wants to build us up. And the whole thing that Pastor was teaching this morning, I'm sitting there and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I just, I don't believe this, God. And things just kept falling into place as he was teaching, and falling into place. And it's like, I know that even through that, something more happened. But I don't even know how else to say it. It's like God sees our hurts. He sees all of that.
Yes.
He sees it.
Yes,
and
he does.
Even when he said about not being patient, we want quick fixes. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes we have to walk these things out, and it may take years. I don't even want to say that, but it may, because it's still a walk. Mm-hmm. It's still a walk. And if it came so quick, how would you respond to God? Would you really be thankful and love him for what he did? You know, it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You know, when it happens, it's like, wow, nobody could understand me the way he understood
That's right.
me. He
That's
was
right.
watching that
Amen.
Mind. He saw what was in my heart. He saw the whole thing. How do you explain that to someone?
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And I'm just saying this because even in this, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit right now, right now even, opens minds and
yes.
hearts
yeah,
to
yeah.
just do whatever.
Amen.
It, for a freedom that we all need. I don't know what else to say, but there's so much more, and I can't even
right.
get there. But
thank you. You did great. This is one of four. We're going to come back and cover the other three. Let the Holy Spirit move with you right now. Okay? Great testimony. Just absolutely great. Yes, somebody else? What? Yes, sure.
So Brigida called me yesterday, and I was out shopping, and I missed the call. So she called back in the evening, and she told me the story. And I began to tell her about my week and where I was with everything that was going on in my life, my body, my everything, you know, and I was in a pit. And she just spoke truth to me. And she kept saying, I don't mean to make it sound like I've got it all together, you know, that kind of thing. But she spoke truth to me, and we talked for a long time. And I opened up my heart to her and, you know, told her where I was with my life and the things I'm going through. And she continued to tell me the truth about what the Word says and how we are to live. And we just shared back and forth. And I listened to everything, and there was one phrase she said that I caught, and we finished talking, and I didn't know what would happen. But a little while after we finished, I began to pray. I began to walk around my house and just talk to the Lord about the things that I go through. And God completely delivered me from where I was. And it was because that's the body working together.
Yes.
You know? It's that being open and honest. And I can trust her because she's been a good friend to me. And
yes.
she doesn't judge me. I know I can do that. But God totally touched my life. Mm. I didn't know how that would happen. I wasn't planning on doing anything when we finished talking. I just started to talk to him. And I just kept trusting as I was walking that I was hearing him. I was hearing him. Everything that came to my heart to pray, whether it was repenting or speaking the word, I was hearing him, and I was hearing him, and it wasn't just my head, but I was hearing him, and keep on doing it, and keep on praying. And I just walked back and forth in my kitchen, just kept praying, and there were some tears, and then they stopped, and then there were more tears, and then they stopped. There was no kind of formula. I just kept doing it, and God totally set me free from where I'd been. And I'd been in a very bad place this week, you know, with various things in my life. But I just want to say it was the body. It's that honesty. It's that confession. It's being humble to expose those things. But God comes back with answers and comes back and delivers people. So it's hard to do that.
Yes.
It's hard to open up your heart because that's your heart, you know. But we trust each other because we're a good church, you know. And it's just the fact that she is growing in her walk, and she had things to impart to me that were life to me and that changed me and that brought healing to me and brought deliverance to me. And I didn't know it happened that way. You know, you don't know how God's going to move sometimes, but there it was, you know. So God wants to heal the church, and Pastor's exactly right. The teaching is like right on. It's like, oh, yeah, my mind, God, same thing. So he's going to do it, and there's hope. There's hope for us because he's faithful. and because he's good and because he's gentle and because Holy Spirit's such a comforting counselor.
Amen.
That we can trust his touch. We can trust him with our hearts.
Amen.
Because he never walks on us. He's never harsh on us. He knows us and he meets us where we are. So I want to give glory to God because it was all by the Holy Spirit. But it's body ministry working together.
That's right. You know? Thank you. That was great. I want to remind you of something. I have been teaching to you about the one body of Christ. The key to successful teaching is repetition. Did you know that? So I'm faithful about that. Even if it becomes again. But the truth is, until it becomes life to you, I'm not a good teacher. I have to press through with you. I have to do this so that you become what the Word of God tells you. Paul said, I labor like a woman travailing with labor pains that Christ be formed in you. So I'm after that. I want to remind you of something. I taught you this. I'm just going to remind you. In Ephesians 4, it says that there is just one body. Now, I'm not going to teach you about the oneness. I'm going to teach you about the meaning of body. The word for body is soma, S-O-M-A. It derives, the word soma means whole, together, sound, whole. Healthy. The root from which it comes from is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Do you know what that means? Come on, say it. Healing, total salvation. Sozo is healing, security, salvation, wholeness. So the body produces wholeness of itself through its members, connected with the Spirit of Christ. Follow this? The body, I've said this, but we're going to learn it. We become whole through the presence of God in all of us, ministering to each of us, through each of us. And that's how we become whole, individually and collectively. It's like the body has a great, huge immune system that keeps the whole healthy. And when the immune system is compromised, and the body is compromised. So our health can spring through the gifts of the Spirit within us, through the love of God, through the mercy, compassion, the words that we speak, all of that, every possible expression of the Holy Spirit through us is designed to make each other whole. And as we become more whole, we enable each other to become more effective in their own ministry back to the body till we finally reach that place where we have the full measure of the stature of Christ in us. Amen. So we release you in Jesus' name to go on and minister to each other this morning as the Holy Spirit leads you, okay? God bless you.